Tune in to the hottest sports talk show. I've never had it so good, sports radio. Join us weekdays at 7 p.m. Stories about players and coaches of all levels. We make it easy to talk sports.
All right, welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We are excited about this series, Women in History Celebration, where we're recognizing some of the women and their mark on this world and their journey. And we're going to talk to Jasmine Smith tonight of Icon Sports League. We'll get her in here as soon as she gets in the system. My co-host is going to be with me also, Shoshana Cook. But I want to give a shout-out to the network, Never Had It So Good Sports Radio and Never Had It So Good Sports Media. We had on Dolores E. Jordan last Thursday, the sister of Michael Jordan, and it was just a powerful conversation about her journey navigating life and being married at 17, having two kids by 21. If you get a chance, go back and listen to that episode. And the crew on Friday nights, the shoot around with Brittany and Kevin and Jason, is powerful too. Sunday is the walkthrough radio. We're now here on Monday in a full night. Gwen Singletary on the media side, and she's talking about budgeting, and that is actually live right now if you want to listen to that, Growing in Greatness with Gwendolyn Singletary. And tonight is, of course, Women in History Celebration with Jasmine Smith, our guest, and then my co-host, Shoshana Cook, at 7 p.m. We're talking March Madness with the ladies and some former WNBA women that are going to be on with us. And then at 10 p.m. tonight is the Life of a Sports Mom with host Shoshana Cook, and we'll replay this episode. If you miss it, we'll have it in that hour then. Okay, Shoshana Cook, I had to get all of that out, but I'm excited to have you so early on a Monday.
I appreciate you taking some time out
to be with me.
Yes, I love it. You know, anytime I can hop on a little bit earlier, I'll be like, sure, put me on. But yes, thank
you
for having
me. Coach. Put me in. So while we wait on Jasmine to get in the system, I want to go over a couple of things before she get here. And if she does, then we'll turn right over to Icon Sports League with Jasmine Smith.
Right.
Oh, and she is here. Let's go ahead and welcome her to the show. She just got in. Jasmine, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
We're doing really good. I have Shoshana Cook on with me, co-host of The Life of a Sports Mom, and I am Princess Cooper, co-host of Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We're excited. We've been reading about you, and we've been looking forward to this, Jasmine.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be a part of your show, and thank you for having me again. It means a lot.
Awesome. It is our honor. So I want to jump right into it, and just tell me about your adolescent, your childhood growing up, and how you got involved in field hockey, lacrosse, and we're going to bring this on forward. But I want to hear about your childhood and how this became a part of your legacy, and that is lacrosse.
So I was born in North Philadelphia, and then my mother was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and she lost her eyesight due to it around the age of four. And then we moved out with my grandparents out to the mainland portion of Radnor Township, which is right down the street from Villanova University. And they actually became her caregiver and my guardian. And so growing up in Radnor, it's a very affluent 90210, you know, demographic, and those typical sports are played at the time. And so my grandmother picked me up from elementary school around second grade, and she dropped me off to a field and had a field hockey stick, and she said, "You're going to learn how to play field hockey." And I looked at the field, and it was all, and it was all these white girls, and I knew all of them. You know, some of them were my friends, and I just cried. And she said, "You don't know what this sport is going to do for you." And she jumped in her car and she left, and then she came back and got me. You know, after practice was done, but for about 2 weeks, I just cried. I was like, "I don't want to be here." And you know, I had a coach, her name was Sue, and she's like, Jazz, she's like, you know, just give it a chance, like, you know, have fun with it. And she kind of showed me some tricks, and she knew there was a competitive nature about me. And after that day that she kind of just practiced with me, I fell in love with field hockey. And then eventually I started playing basketball because that was the agreement between my grandparents and I. If I played, I wanted to play basketball. And then lacrosse came right after that. So,
wow. That's right. So basketball was fall kind of sport leading in, and spring was lacrosse. So that definitely worked out. So I want to go back before I get Shoshana in here, because I was looking at lacrosse for the University of Florida. I'm a Gator, and I came through that from getting my master's. But I remember seeing just the other day, Jasmine, wow, there's not one African-American girl on this team.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll tell my age, I'm 44. So, I mean, if you think about it, like, I started playing field hockey and lacrosse in 1985, and that's the first day that I picked up a stick. And so, unfortunately, mm-hmm. the game has not grown to the capacity where it should be when you look at the levels of diversity throughout every mm-hmm. industry. But with regards to non-traditional sports, especially to these two, it has not. So you will look at a college campus, a university, you know, Florida, and you will not see representation, unfortunately, at this point, Mark.
No. A couple years ago, maybe one, but we are back. We haven't come very far with this. I was reading some statistics with the story with you on either your website or on Nike, where it's 16% of color within lacrosse, but only 2%, a little bit less than that, is African American. So that's pretty tough within itself. Before we come bringing that journey forward, Shoshana, what do you have for Jasmine?
You know, first off, I want to kudos to you because reading up on you, you're doing some magnificent work with some women of color. One of the things that sparked me was, how exciting was it for you to be at the summit at the White House in 16?
It was, I didn't believe it when I received the notification. You know, the email and then the letter. I was completely in shock because I had just revamped Icons about 3 years prior before. The historical story of Icons is, I started the program in the early 2000s, stopped just due to it being a lot. There's a level of sacrifice. In my early 20s, I didn't know what I was getting into. And then I had became like a full-time caregiver between those years with my mother. And then we had a house fire. And so, you know, my mom was in the house, and so she was, you know, unfortunately on her deathbed. And I heard God say, pick up the gift I gave you. And I said, I prayed, and I said, if you wake her up, I said, I'll go back to Icons. And that's how Icons got reborn. So in the time that I had received the notification that I was being honored, it kind of was like, wow, like, you know, like, I'm just kind of getting back into the groove of things. And, you know, the highest level of command in our country is acknowledging the work that's been done. I think I cried for a whole week straight. No exaggeration. But to be around in a month all those women from every background, it was very encouraging. It was inspiring because everybody has the story of prevailing to be where they're supposed to be. And it just gave me the gumption of just continue looking straight. Don't look back to the right. Like, just keep looking straight because that's the direction that God wants you to be in for what he's about to open up.
Wow. Powerful. Right there in Philly, talk about, though, bring your career to the college level and beyond that, and then I'm going to talk about these affirmations with these beautiful young ladies all over your page and so much going on with them. But talk to me about later on and playing in college and then after that.
Yeah, so I went off to college on a full ride for basketball. I had a couple of options. I could have went for field hockey, basketball, and lacrosse. Basketball was giving the most money, and so I went in that direction, and I started off at Kutztown University. And after 2.5 years, I left Kutztown. My grandfather unfortunately passed away, who was like a big portion of my rendering and the reason why Icons is where it is. And then I got offered a job to work in LA for Kobe Bryant. And then I worked out there for a few years. And that's really how I got my feet into the sports elements of sports marketing, sports advertising, and understanding the sports world. Because I was sitting with his, you know, I had a chance to sit at the feet, as they say, of his agent and, you know, different other people to really understand how this industry works, both at a professional level, but also trickle down from every other level. And I came home, like I said, you know, to help my mom and my grandmother. And, you know, I started Icons with the belief of knowing that the game had not grown and I wanted to make some type of dent and, you know, for field hockey and lacrosse. And that's really like, you know, I started, so, you know, I was still working. And when I was, when I first started Icons, and then, you know, that's where I knew like there's a sacrifice. Cause I knew I wasn't going to be able to work. So I knew that, you know, you got to be on the ground level. It's a grassroots type of thing. And so that's when I stopped. And my grandmother, before she passed away, she would always say, like, she's like, this is your calling. This is your assignment. And then, you know, life had its way where it kind of, like, forced my hand in a way, which, you know, I'm grateful for. And then that's how Icons, again, got reborn from that capacity.
Jasmine, I want to ask, you know, because you've mentioned grandma so many times and mom, I know how powerful my mom was in my life, and I already know Shoshana. I wrote an article about Shoshana's mom that made us all cry during and afterwards. But Jasmine, talk about conversations with grandma that said, you know, you knew what you were doing, or did you ever thank her for just taking you to that field and dropping you off?
Well, you know, it's crazy. I had a conversation with my daughter recently, and my grandparents are from the South. My grandma was from Wilmington, North Carolina. My grandfather on my mother's side is from Beaufort, South Carolina. So they're very much Geechee Gullah culture.
Oh, that's the South.
And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the South, yeah. So, and on my dad's side, everybody's from Orlando. So for my grandparents, you know, and especially when it came to grandma, you know, like they did things that made me uncomfortable at an early age. And, you know, from speaking in church, you know, anytime you want to read the scripture, Jasmine's going to read the scripture. You know, like it was just like, you know, Jasmine's going to play piano for the recital. Like, you know, whatever it was, they were pushing me. And I was like, can I just be a kid? Like, what is happening?
Right.
You know, but they knew, you know, and, you know, I did have a conversation with my grandmother, you know, before she transitioned with regards to all the things that she really, like, imparted in my life. And then what was even more deeper, back in 2017, ESPN was interviewing us and doing a full piece on the story. And so they wanted to interview my mother. And my mom said something that really connected, you know, as mothers, you know, guardians, you have this universal, unconditional love for your children. And so I asked my mom, I said, you know, they're going to ask you, like, you know, to speak for grandma and grandpa. And my mom, you know, with her words, she was like, God won't give you no more you can bear. He'll make a way out of no way. And then she turned to me and she said, you know, I sacrificed it all for you. And I sat there. And I was like, huh? And mom, because of her condition, says things like repeatedly. And, you know, because of her loss of what's called. And so I was like, well, I said, what do you mean? She said, I sacrificed it all for you. She said, if it had not, she said, I could have fought this disease. She said, I could have, you know, did a lot of things and pushed, you know, to, you know, figure out another, you know, diagnosis. She said, but she said, where would that have left you in your destiny?
Yeah.
And it was like, she's like, you don't get the right to quit. She's like, when I sacrificed it all for you. And in that moment, it solidified, you know, ESPN captured it, you know, like, okay, this is not just about me. This is something that they all in some capacity had laid out before, you know, the beginning of time, you know, for me in that capacity. So, you know, I feel that, you know, I always tell people this is Icons is not mine. It's really theirs. You know, I'm just the vessel of the legacies that came before me to then demonstrate.
Wow. You don't get to quit. I sacrificed all of this for you. Wow. That's powerful right there. Let's take a small break here, Shoshana. And Jasmine, when we come back, we'll get Shoshana in here with a question. Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We will be right back.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Okay, we're back with Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Stay with us at the top of the hour at 7 p.m. We're going to talk March Madness on the women's side with a couple of former WNBA players, including Vicky Bullitt. And then tomorrow night we'll have the men in here, Anthony Coleman, also Tommy Pritchard, Tim Moore, and David Duck Riley. We'll have them in here tomorrow at 7 p.m. But we will continue this Women in Sports History celebration and honoring those women on a powerful journey. And we'll do this all week, Monday, Tuesday, and we'll come back Thursday and Friday. Let me get my co-host in here, Shoshana Cook, and also open up the mic of Jasmine Smith. Shoshana, go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, I have to commend your family because they prepared you for where you are right now. Understandable, when we're kids, we don't understand that. We just want to be kids. But it translated over with how you deal with the young ladies that you deal with. So I'm sure coming from, being with a predominantly black lacrosse team, you have come across many challenges. How do you prepare your girls in dealing with them, especially when they're playing?
Yeah, so it's again, I take, you know, from my rendering, my grandfather had a mirror at the front of the door, the house. And so every morning you would have to do an I am affirmation. And so, like, I hated them. And he quoted, you know, I used to be like, oh, my God, like, be a kid again. And so he used to say all the time, he's like, if you don't know who you be in this world, when you walk out there, they'll tell you because you don't know who you be. He's like, you will believe that. He's like, state your name. And so you have to state your name. And it wasn't just like, my name is Jasmine. Like, it was shoulders back because he was in the military too. So shoulders back, look in the mirror, be confident, know who you are, because the world's waiting to label you. And so for me, I had to think of ways to be able to crack the code because it's not easy breaking glass ceilings. And so for our girls, you know, I know that at some point, unfortunately, they're going to get called the N-word, you know. At some point, you know, a referee is not going to call something against them, not because they did anything on the play, but because of their skin tone. And so how do you handle that? And so when you have that belief that you belong and there's ownership and you know who you are, it doesn't matter what they say. You know, it's what the old folks say is not what you call me, it's what I answer to. So it's really – so that was the thing that – really created the curriculum for these girls to then be able to master. Because if you don't like yourself, because parents are always confused when they come to the field at practice, especially the newbies, and they're like, why is there a mirror on the field, you know, and it's a tall, long mirror. And I'm like, you know, they can't play for me if they don't like themselves, because, you know, like,
right.
They have to be able to dominate in a way that surpasses their skill set. It's the mentality that they have to be able to hone.
That's awesome. The reason why it's awesome is because although you've gotten it, so many kids don't get it. So many kids don't don't believe who they are or their true appearance of who they are. So what, you're a sports player, but you're still beautiful, you're still smart. So what, they're calling you that? Don't answer to it. That's ignorance. Sometimes they don't get that from home. So they're ready to just, you know, as kids say, they're ready to just pop off. When sometimes you not saying nothing, it shows who you are as an individual instead of popping off on someone.
Yep, I agree.
Exactly. So, Jasmine, talk about two things here, and that is I was reading that, you know, you can join Icon Sport League any time of the year, but I want to also talk about the mirror and where they are the first time you get them in the mirror and maybe where they are about 4 months down the road and how their demeanor has changed. Talk about that.
So the mirror, the first, you know, so what we do before practices or in the middle of practice, we'll bring out the mirror. And it's, like I stated, it's a tall mirror, the one that you would have in your house. And so we get the girls single file lined up, very much military style, shoulders back. So when they approach the mirror, they have to look at themselves. So all the newbies are, like, confused about what's happening. And so we tell the girls that, you know, have been with us to, you know, help them, you know, they'll stand aside to them. So most times when the girl approaches, she's not looking at the mirror. She's looking either at me or around, like to the side, to the left. And so, you know, my thing is I always say, you don't like yourself. And makes them start to think. And I'm like, you know, and I'll say, you like Cardi B? They'll be like, yeah, you know, like you like this music? Like, you know, do you put lip gloss on? And I was like, but you can't look at yourself. Why? And I don't start gentle. I'm not I don't try to coax them because then that allows them to enable the process. So it's just very direct with love. And I'm like, you know, look at yourself. Look how beautiful you are. Look at, you know, who, this is your best friend. And then I'll say, you don't like your best friend. And it then allows them to start processing again. Like either one, this woman's crazy, or two, I ain't signing up.
Right,
and it's usually both,
right?
It's usually both, and so I've had kids that are like, I'm not doing it, and then I'll get the parents to come over to stand with me in agreement, because the kid can't take my field unless they actually do the I am affirmation. So there have been girls where, you know, they've been defiant and, you know, with understanding, because society says for you to comb your hair, you know, put your clothes on. Society has never asked you to love yourself in the mirror. So it's a new level of language that, you know, has been created. And so once the parents buy in, the child's not going anywhere. So for some kids, it may take like weeks. I've had kids that take months, but, you know, we actually have the girls do homework every night where it's mandatory. And they have to, one of a portion of that homework is for them to do the I am affirmations and to submit them in video context in our portals. So that we know that they're actually doing them.
Wow. So, Jasmine, before I get Shoshana back in here, go back to the pandemic and talk about what kind of effect it had on your organization and how you – what kind of effect you had on them during this time, including Black Lives Matter, which really hit a pinnacle last summer with our young folks the past two summers. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the pandemic hit in a way. We were gearing up to play in the World Lacrosse Tournament in Ireland, so we were taking close to like 68 girls over to participate, which will, you know, at that point we were going to be playing teams from Ireland, England, Japan, China, Brazil, Jamaica, you name it. And, you know, everything stopped, and everybody was doing the typical Zoom practices, and I knew my kids, and I'm like, okay, they're going to be checked out of this in a little bit. And so I realized, because there was such a disparity with, you know, essential workers having masks and they're, you know, they were working 24/7 round clock. And I said, well, how can I teach my girls about empathy and responsibility? And again, it goes all the way back to my grandparents and their rendering, because they were deacon and deaconesses as well. So I would go into houses that, you know, like I'd be like, why are we here? And so, but they were teaching me about being servants, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted those girls to understand that capacity. So we started making masks And I had the girls start writing notes, and we were creating like gift bags, you know, for two hospitals that we had chosen. And then we reached out to some of the other local lacrosse programs that were fluently white to say join in and like help, you know, and so they would pick hospitals. So we started the Icons Lacrosse Village. And so we would do drop-offs and, you know, residents, doctors, you know, if you were a housekeeper, whatever the case may be, you got a gift bag and it would have a mask, a note, a book, something of inspiration to say, keep going. We believe in you. We're praying for you. We're thinking of you. And that really kept the girls engaged. And then, you know, George Floyd happened and the girls were like, we ready to march. And I was like, wait. Philadelphia was shooting like rubber bullets. And I was like, I want you to march. But as a collective, if something happens, you know, collectively, I said, it would just unrest my soul. And I said, okay, we can march. But like right now, I said, if you look at like all the legislation, there's nothing that protects black people. And so they were like, and it was a Zoom call of 120 of our players. And so I said, but I'm challenging you all to write, you know, start it. I said, because it's never been passed. And so 15 of those 100-something girls got off the phone. They said, we're going to work on it. And then they started working on policies and reforms. Not one of them knew how to write one. We got them training through our state, federal, and city legislators to come in and basically teach them how to write reforms, because that's one thing I would say. Yeah, that I'm not, you know, able to do, or any of my other coaches. And they helped gauge the way. And then they were like, you know, they started working with Governor Ed Rendell of Pennsylvania. He was a former governor and the former mayor of Philadelphia. And so he basically vetted them, cross-examined them. And then in a nutshell, he was like, I think you're ready for the next layer of government to be, get passed. And then they still were at that point wanting to march. And so I said, well, I said, if you want to march, then create a march. And that's what they did. They actually created a march for black women and girls who actually were not being showcased just as many as black men.
And you know, it's wow. You're teaching them way more than just lacrosse. You know what I mean? It starts there, but you're teaching them just life things. If you want to make some changes, you have to figure out how to make them changes, and let's go. So
yeah,
it goes beyond just lacrosse. You're teaching them how to fight for what they believe in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because that's what was given to me. And I think that's what separated me. You know, I didn't always agree with it, but the thing is that in hindsight, you know, it allotted me in spaces and places that I would have never thought I would have been in. And, you know, I think it's the moral responsibility of what our community used to look like. You know, like to be able, it takes a village to raise a child. And so it's getting back to those emphasis of we're a village, we're a family, you have to do this collectively, I is not a portion of it, you know, it's we, so that they're able to understand, and also educating young black girls to love each other, which, you know, definitely is not a language as you get older, you know, with so many disparities.
Amen.
That is dope.
That's an adult lesson right there.
I want to be one of your players.
Go ahead, Shoshana.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I wanted to come and just talk about where we are now. You know, what are some of the goals for the league, and is Ireland back on? Talk about that for me.
Yeah, so we'll be playing in the World Lacrosse Tournament, playing in Towson, Maryland. It's going to be held in Towson for the women's side this year, which is very close to USA Lacrosse's headquarters. The World Lacrosse Tournament is under the umbrella of the Olympic Association. So teams from all over, from Uganda, Ireland, everybody will be participating in a lot of teams nationally. So we'll be taking two of our teams down, our high school team and as well as our 7th, 8th grade team. And we actually are bringing out of retirement Tina Sloan Green, who is one of my mentors, but she actually is the first black collegiate coach in history. And she started Temple University's field hockey and lacrosse team. So, yeah, she's 78 years old. And, you know, she was sick last year. And I really wanted to, you know, allow her legacy to be lived through the next generation and teach the newer generation of what she did. Because if it hadn't been for, you know, Mom Tina, as I affectionately call her, like, there would be no Jasmine. There would be no Icons. There would be no, you know, most girls of color participating, coaching, doing administrative work at this level. So we're excited, you know, to take those two teams down and get to victory. So that's the one thing. And then we're expanding. We'll be in Orlando, expanding in 2023, and Los Angeles in 2024. And then we initially were supposed to be in Ghana right now, but COVID has hit, so we had to table that. But we're expanding to Ghana and creating the same level of pipeline in all three areas. And that way our players will have an opportunity to travel to Africa to play, coach, facilitate, and then those girls from Africa will be able to then come over to the States to experience, you know, our culture over here and then play and participate in clinics as well.
When is the event in Townsend, Maryland? Sorry, Shoshana.
That's the last week of June and the first week of July. So it's June 26th through July 6th.
Oh, wow. Wow. We may have to send someone down there to cover you all. I think that's powerful.
Oh, yeah, you have to, guys. We would welcome you. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're creating this HBCU Black Family Reunion environment. And so what we're doing is kind of taking ownership of no longer asking, can we have a seat at the table? Basically speaking our culture. So we would love to have you there because what we're about to do has never been done in the lacrosse world. So we're excited.
Amen. Shoshana?
Yeah. No, I was just saying it's phenomenal. Like, just listening, any little girl would just love this opportunity. They may not understand it now, but they would love that opportunity to know that, let's say, your group of girls that's going to Africa to play. That may be your only time going to Africa, but you see you're going to play the sport that you are in, as well as you're going to see something new. You're helping them build something or whatever it may be, whatever work you guys do there when you go to these different countries. I feel like that is phenomenal. Like,
thank you.
I'm speechless, and I'm never speechless.
it takes a village, you know, like, and again, if we go back to the imprint of those from the, you know, our grandparents' era and those of our great grandparents, and they made sure that if I ate, you ate, you know. And so we got to make sure that we cultivate that into this new generation, because this new generation is different. They're very entitled and very self-motivated. And so if you don't lay down the foundation, our culture and our community and the legacies that those that came before us will get lost. And not because they don't have a heartstring, it's because no one's taught them any different other than being entitled.
And that's what I was going to say. This generation, I'm not going to say all the kids, it's just majority of them show that they have this entitlement about themselves. When you get more out of just sitting back, learning, and giving back on what you learned. But they're in this generation now that they feel entitled, like, I'm owed this. When it's so much more if you just sit back, get the knowledge, and help a hand, you know, and give a lending hand at times.
Yeah, agreed. Completely agreed. And, you know, it's our responsibility as adults. You know, like, the entitlement stems from what we didn't receive as children or not. And I think a lot of times, you know, the ownership is, okay, let me show you the way instead of giving you the way.
Right, right.
Yeah, wow. So, Jasmine, do a couple things here. Highlight a conversation that you may have with some of the young ladies where they may come to you and say, you know, I'm not having good grades, or my brother doesn't like me, or, you know, talk about some of their problems. And then also after that, address social media. Do you get involved in that and give them some life lessons about social media?
Yeah, so with regards to the first question, when it comes to, you know, their social issues, like with grades and, you know, other issues with, you know, wanting to fit in, one of the biggest things I always ask girls are, do you want to go to college? And so the majority of our players do. And so you then have to lay out the mapping, you know, and a lot of times people don't map out things for their children, especially in their high school, until like their senior year. And by that time, it's not too late, but it's really late, you know, if you're trying to close the gap. And so, you know, I look at it from a perspective of, if this is what you want, then you then have to do your due diligence, because nobody's going to hold your hand in college. One of the things that we do have is mandatory turn-in, you know, for your report cards. And during COVID, we had mandatory study hall. And we're partners with University of Pennsylvania. We're still our own entity, but we sit under the umbrella where we're able to facilitate our school programming, because ICONS is split into four tiers. So we're in 14 schools in Philadelphia where we start teams, field hockey and lacrosse with academic support. And then we have our club side, which is we travel nationally, internationally, and regionally. And then we host clinics, and then the international side, which I just shared with about Ghana. And so with University of Penn, there are more portion of our school programming that filters over to our club side. So all of our girls are allotted free study hall through University of Penn students. So there's no reason to failure because you have the resources there. As well, we hold them to a certain standard because with University of Penn, we get all of our girls paid internships in the summer. So it's really allowing them to, you know, level the playing field so that they have the opportunity to match. So when it comes to those things, we make sure, like, if you want to work and get money, you got to have the grades for it. If you want to play, you got to have the grades for it. No matter what you do, if you don't have the grades, you can't, you know, you can't skip it.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
What a lesson right there. And social media?
Social media. So we, our assistant coaches, especially our junior coaches who are in college that are playing, they really help the girls out, and they kind of monitor, all of us monitor, you know, their pages. But for ICONS, you know, they have their lacrosse page with their lacrosse information, what position they play, and they post their videos on there, you know, showcasing what they've done and what they're doing, you know, as athletes. And
okay.
Yeah, so that's how we navigate that process.
Wow.
I have a question
going
a little bit more to the social media. Because social media is everything to this generation right now, do you guys talk to them about what you put on your social media? Like, for example, my kids, when they were in high school, I monitored their social media accounts. And I was like, you don't need to have that on there, you know, take that off. And my kids trying to get scholarships, you know, if you retweet this, make sure you understand what you're retweeting, because you may be retweeting something that makes you look like something else, and you're not. You just retweeted something, and now somebody's looking at you a different type of way. So do you guys talk to them about what you're posting that could some hurt them?
Yeah, we go through all that, and if we catch anything, then, you know, you're suspended, you know, anything that would cause a red flag. Because it's not, you know, we're talking to them as, you know, administration, as coaches. But the other piece, if you're really trying to go to college to play these sports, unfortunately, the first thing that you put up there that has profanity or doesn't, you know, coincide with your mission of your journey to be your best on the field and off the field, you know, you're done. and you've already given, you know, those that do not look like you upper advantage. So we really hone to, you know, if this is what you want, don't put anything crazy on there. Otherwise, you're going to hear Coach Jazz's mouth, and nobody wants to hear that.
So, Jasmine, what's next for Icon Sports League? And if there are people out there listening, which will be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify tomorrow, how can we partner or, you know, or just donate or be a part of this or be a sponsor for anything? Talk about that. But and then what's next for Icon Sports League?
What's next? So what's next is expansion, which I'm really, really happy about because, you know, it's been some time cultivating. I'm eager and excited to get back into Orlando. We did our vetting process and locations and surveyed those areas in Los Angeles and Ghana. And, you know, our goal is to be in other, you know, locations where, you know, brown and black kids can participate. You know, we have the same lawyers as Pop Warner Football, and so we want to utilize that model that they use, you know, to grow the sport. Because the game is like basketball, football, NFL, NBA. It wasn't until we became the majority that the sport really developed into what we now love. And so that's the one thing I want to be able to give back to our community so that we can really – you know, embrace the sport. I mean, Native Americans created it. It's such a healing sport. If you really understand the historical factors of why it was played. And so again, you know, it's connected to our lineage in that respect. So those are the things I'm looking forward to, and getting more girls of color playing at the collegiate level. We started Lincoln Universities. Yeah. You know, lacrosse programs, both on the men's and women's side, and we're working now with Morgan State. So we're looking into really creating that pipeline for HBCUs, you know, to continue growing so that as we're breaking glass ceilings to get the University of Florida and, you know, UNC teams to be more diverse in color, at least we know that we have girls that are continuing to play and playing at the national level to be representing the Olympic team. Because if you look at the national team, you might see one token. And I can speak about a token because I grew up a token, you know, so, and it's not okay to be a token in 2022, you know. So with regards to donations and partners and sponsors, we are always open to need. You know, donations go directly to our players there. Especially our club side, there are players that can afford, and then there's some that cannot. And so we, you know, utilize those resources to help those kids fund through transportation, registration, uniform costs, cleats, mouth guards, you name it. Registrations for tournaments are very expensive. We grew up calling these two sports long money sports. And that's because the average tournament can go from $1,500 to $5,000 a team. And if you're taking like four or five teams down, that becomes astronomical. And that's the reason why the gap is really wide when it comes to our children playing and being able to play at that level. So, you know, monies that are donated or sponsored goes to those tournaments, you know, to help close the gap in transportation. And then there are some times where money goes towards food. People don't think about kids being hungry when they come to practice, but they are. So we're able to then decide, you know, something for them to eat, whether during practice or when they need to go home.
Yeah. Awesome. Powerful. Shoshana, last question. We're winding down.
My last question is, now, do you guys have camp? Or anything where people can come and see if that's something that they're interested in?
Yeah, so typically in years past before COVID, we always had a camp at Cheney University. So we would do that for 5 days where the girls would come out, participate in field hockey and lacrosse in addition to ICON's curriculum and some additional other things where we allow them to really hone on in their sisterhood but really then create this environment of like trailblazing both sports. We're working on that for this August. We're not for sure exactly if that's going to happen because of all these technicalities with COVID, because the camp that we would have was overnight. And that was really the most special thing for the girls to be a portion of, part of that.
Well, wow. I'm hoping that it works because I'm telling you, this is interesting. I love it.
Yeah, if you guys wanted to come down, hopefully we'll be in a town near you guys, you know, soon. That is my prayers.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. Shoshana is in L.A., you know, California. So, but we will
we'll
travel.
Be there.
Yeah, this is inspiring. And I got someone I want you to say hello to here. He let go of power, allowed us to do this tonight, but I want you to say hello to one of my favorite people, the legend, Duck Riley. Duck, are you on?
Yes, I am, Princess. Yeah, I was able to get on. And look, the women took over, they kicked me to the curb, but I'm good.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Duchy, yeah, it's been awesome. I appreciate it. And we got to get you back, you know, in the fall. But the end of June, beginning of July, we really want to send somebody to just be a part of it and witness this for a couple of days. So look for that.
Oh,
and I'm going to stay
awesome.
In touch with you, okay? Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed talking with you ladies, and kudos to this amazing platform that you both have. This is really, really necessary and needed for us as women in the sports world. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And create this journey where she looks like me, and I say that all the time. That's so powerful for our young ladies. So have a great evening, Jasmine, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Okay. All right. Take care. Have
Can
a great
I ask
night.
When in June? When is it in June?
The June 26th and through July 6th.
Okay.
And it's going to be in Townsend, Maryland, Duck.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that's doable. All right. Anything else, Duck?
No, look, I'm just glad I could finally catch up with it and get on the show.
She's a busy lady, and I can see why. She's making an impact on our young ladies. So, Jasmine, thank you again. We've been proud to have this time with you. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You do the same. Bye-bye.
All right. Awesome. So we got to get ready for March Madness. It's coming up at 7 p.m. Duck, try to stay awake. I know it's getting, you know, with your age.
I know.
How that's working out.
I know. Hey, look. I took a nap right before I got on.
Well, you ready, man? You ready?
Well, a shout out to my network in the Facebook thread, because nobody worked today. Everybody was just back and forth. There must have been 100 messages today.
Ain't that right?
Shoshana, you know what? You know, this is easy. Yeah, I got to catch up and go read everything, too. It's easy working with you, Shoshana. We got to do more of it.
Definitely. I can't wait. We got to come up with some more shows.
All right. Duck, I'll see you in just a little bit. Never had
right,
so good.
Talk to you.
I'll see you at 7 p.m.
Right.
for March Madness. But now, this is what you got to declare.